the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Christos
anesti. Christos voskrese. Brothers and sisters, we gather here in a packed church. What a joy that is. And what a joy it has been to be celebrating the resurrection of the Lord God, Jesus Christ incarnate, the Savior of the world, the Savior of each and every one of us. This Paschal season is the most festive and joyous of the whole year. It's a season that we kind of wish would never come to a close. It would never end. And in a very real way, it doesn't have to end. It doesn't have to end at all for us. If we abide in this newness of life that shone forth from the tomb, we taste this eternal life that begins now and continues then. This life of the age to come is already present with us in the church, and within us by God's grace. And this is what makes us supremely joyful. This is what makes us celebrate so highly in the church, the Lord's resurrection in himself and his resurrection in us. Today the church gives us to commemorate the noble Joseph, the righteous Nicodemus, and the myrrh-bearing women. We'll speak a little bit about three characteristics that we see in them, that we can also see in Christians from every day and age, every generation, every time and place, in which we also should see within ourselves. The first is love. The noble Joseph, righteous Nicodemus, and the murmuring women, they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They were the ones who walked the earth with him, heard his teaching, saw his miracles. Saw him give sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, raise up the paralytics and those who even had died. They were the ones who saw him restore to right communion with God and their neighbor sinners, people who were outcasts in society. They were the ones who saw him upbraid the scribes and the Pharisees for their false religion and for their hardness of heart. They were the ones who saw him go to that cross, so that he might take away the sin of the world and reconcile us with his Father. They were the ones who saw everything that he had done, which showed forth his love for us. And they returned that love. And that's the first characteristic that we see in them and in all Christians, and we should see in ourselves. The second characteristic is one of ministry. The noble Joseph and the righteous Nicodemus, they went boldly to Pilate to ask for the body of the Lord Jesus. They took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. They anointed him with spices. And that tomb was the tomb of the noble Joseph. It was his own tomb that he had for himself. He gave it to the Lord Jesus as a sign of his love. And they ministered to him, the one who continually ministers to everyone. They ministered to him at the time of his burial. Then we see the wonderful women, those myrrh bearers who came to the tomb early on that first day. They come with myrrh and aloes to anoint the body, to continue what Joseph and Nicodemus had begun. And they came to the tomb to minister again to the Lord Jesus. What an amazing thing for us human beings to minister to God incarnate. They came and they ministered to the body of the Lord Jesus. And that is something that Christians have done in every day and age. They've ministered to the body of the Lord Jesus, to the church. They've given themselves over to ministry. They've given of their possessions. They've given of their time, of their talents. They've given of themselves to minister to the body of Christ. You think on this day about the ministry of Derek and Ashley. The ministry was first given to them to care for one another, and then to care for their beautiful children. And the greatest care that they could show for them is to bring them here to the church, to incorporate them into this resurrectional life, this eternal life. This is the greatest gift that a parent could ever give to the child, to be reborn as children of the Heavenly Father. And this is what's taking place today, and possibly another day. We'll see. But that ministry will continue as they grow up. They may serve as altar boys in the altar, maybe sing in the choir, maybe help cut the lawn at the church and do a variety of different things that need to be done. They might serve, though, perhaps even as our next deacons and priests and bishops. They might be those descendants of the apostles themselves. What high ministries are open to us in the church? And the final characteristic is one of joy. When they took the Lord down from the cross, when they laid him in the tomb, when they came to anoint him with spices, they were not filled with joy. They were filled with just the opposite, sorrow. They were tormented in spirit. They were filled with doubt. They came with all of these negative emotions. And they came to the Lord Jesus, looking for his body in the tomb. But they didn't find it there. They didn't find it there, just as he told them they wouldn't find it there. Because the Lord had risen, and he appeared to them, and showed forth the power that he has in himself. He has the power to lay down his life and to take it again, as he had told them. And he has the power to give life even to the dead. And this filled them with such great joy that all of their enemies, sin, corruption, sickness, death, all of it would be put underfoot by the one who has all power in heaven and on earth. And they rejoiced with great joy. You know, the myrrh bearers, they made that trip early in the morning. It's hard to get up early in the morning, right? They got up because they loved and they wanted to minister to the Lord Jesus. And they tasted that joy so early in the morning. But you know what they did? They went back continually to that tomb with different groups of people. Look, the tomb is empty. Here's where he was when we saw him. Here's what he said to us. Here's where the angels were. They continually went back to that tomb over and over and over. And Christians from every generation do the exact same thing. They go to Jerusalem. They go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. They go to the tomb of Christ. Every year, as you know, there's a miracle of the holy fire. It draws not even Christians, Muslims, Jews, atheists. They go to see the power of God, the light that overcomes darkness, the light that overcomes death. They go there and they're filled with joy. As Christians, we're meant to be filled with joy. The joy that no one can take from us. The joy that Christ alone can give to us. And we're called to continually replenish ourselves with this joy by coming where? You have to go to Jerusalem, you have to go to the tomb? No, you can come right here to the church, which is the body of Christ. You can see the baptismal font in which we die, we're buried, and we rise with Christ. This is the tomb for the old man in us, and we arise with Christ to newness of life. This is the place of the resurrection, right here. And we should always come back to the church and remember not just those who are newly baptized, but our own baptism, our own incorporation into the resurrection and the life. Brothers and sisters, it is the time to be filled with love for the Lord Jesus. It is the time to perform his ministry in the church. And it is the time to be filled with joy. But that time doesn't need to come to an end when the paschal season is over. That time is meant to extend for all of eternity. I wish you that love, that ministry, and that joy, now and in the age to come. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.